All right. We are, if I understood correctly, Harold, we're at Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. You said 18 lines, yeah?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Right, we're in the middle of five statements from Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, quoting Rabbi Yochanan regarding issues of trefos. His first statement was that the gallbladder that has been pierced is a trefa. We presented the view against Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda as based on Eov's description of his suffering, which we take literally, and the Gemara's answer to that is that, well, it was a miracle, and that's how he survived. And now his third statement is regarding the liver. And again, we're going to speed read a little bit today to get to the bottom of Memdalet Amud Aleph. I apologize, there's a lot of fun stuff we could be seeing here, but that's the way it goes. We won't have too much fun. It's Tisha B'Av's coming. So he says, Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Kezayis. He says the law follows the view that says a Kezayis, meaning that we say that some part of the liver has to remain in order for an animal not to be a trefa. How much of the liver has to remain? A Kezayis. Umiyom Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, to which he says, does Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Va'amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kestam Mishnah. We know that Rabbi Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying that the law always follows the Stam Mishnah, Utnan, and we learned in a Stam Mishnah, an unattributed Mishnah, Nitla Kavit Vilanishtayer Hemenaklum, that the Trefa is a case in which nothing at all remains of the liver. Hanishtayer, that means if something does remain, Ksheira it's Kasher, Afagav the law of the Kezayis, even though it's not an olive-sized amount. So you can't simultaneously tell me that if less than a kezayis remains, it's a trefa, and then say if nothing remains, it's a trefa. So the answer is, yeah, you're right. I'm a rainin of Aliba Rabbi Yochanan. And in fact, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef is participating in a machlokes amoraim regarding the position of Rabbi Yochanan, meaning the view that says Rabbi Yochanan follows the Stam Mishnah will say you have to have nothing left of the liver. And the view of Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef is that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't always follow Stam Mishnayos. That would be his reply. Fourth statement from Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef citing Rabbi Yochanan is regarding the gallbladder. The gallbladder sits right next to the liver, and he says, "Vam Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mara Shenikva." It should be Vilmar, not the Dilmar. The Mara Shenikva v'kaveit so tamta. If the Mara, the gallbladder, gets a hole in it, it's pierced, but the liver closes the hole. Just the body of the liver is in the way. Kshera. So the animal is kosher. That's considered to form a significant seal for our purposes. And in the fifth statement, Vamar Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nikav HaKurkavan V'Kis Shalokayim. If the gizzard gets a hole in it, however, the inner membrane is still intact. It has two levels of membrane. The inner one is still intact. Kosher. And that's good enough. It would need to be punctured straight through in order for it to have a problem. Those who have the Tzmunei Chol can see the nice picture of the layers that cover the layers that contain the inside of the kurkavan of the gizzard. And you can see it's actually rather thick. So it's possible to get a hole in the outer layer with the inner membrane still intact. Okay. But the Gemara follows up with a question. Nikava kiz, v'korkavan kayam, amai. What if it's the inner membrane that got pierced and the outer membrane is still intact? Then what? Satash ma come in here, damar Rav Nachman said, Nikav zeh below zeh, kosher, or the Bach has Nikav zeh below zeh, ozeh shalok neged zeh, kosher. Rav Nachman says in our edition that if only one membrane is pierced, either one, it's still kosher, and the Bach adds in, even if there are holes in both membranes, they're just not parallel to each other, we're okay. The assumption here is, as we see elsewhere, that the certain parts of the animal don't move a lot. And therefore, there's no concern that they might be aligned at some point, that the holes might come into alignment, and therefore it's kosher. Okay. We now get three comments by Rabba. It says Rava, but it should be Rabba here. Regarding the esophagus, and it's a tangent from the discussion of the holes in the membranes of the gizzard. We're going to talk about holes in the layers of the esophagus. The Tzmunei Chol again provides a nice picture. In this case, it's on page 75. With the pictures of layers of the esophagus, and there's a red layer. I mean, 75 in the old edition. I don't know what it is in the newer one. This is from the last cycle. It's on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. He shows you that there is a red layer and then there's a white layer inside. And the red layer is muscle for moving the food mass. And then the white layer is the inside layer that gets in touch with the food. That's when it's actually in contact with the food. I would pass it around, but I wouldn't have the book then. Sorry? Oh, it's not gross. Come on. If you're ready to eat it, you have to be ready to look at it.
It's good on the barbecue.
Right. So Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Shnei Oros Yesh Lo Leveshet. We're about 15 lines up or so from the bottom on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. He says, Shnei Oros Yesh Lo Leveshet. There are two layers to the Veshet. It should look like this picture. On Nun Amud Aleph, yeah. Is where the picture is. It says there are two layers. Chitzon Adam, the outer one is red. Upnimi Lavan, and the inner one is white. Nikav Zeh Belo Zeh, kosher. If only one of them is pierced, then the animal is still kosher. Lamalu the Memar Chitzon Adam Upnimi Lavan. Who cares that the outer one is red, the inner one is white? What's your point? De'ichalif Treifa. To teach me that dafket has to be that way. If it's inverted, if somehow the animal has some mutation and the muscle layer is on the inside, it's going to be a treifa. Ibayalu, to which the Gemara says, Nikvu Shneim Zeshalo Kineged Zeh Mahu. Sorry?
Would it be possible that it wouldn't be a mutation, but it would be a trauma that it turned it inside? Because I don't think the animal could live because the white part absorbs the food.
Right, but how would this happen via... But how would it be inverted? Unless you cut it, how is it going to invert? Okay. And if you cut it, then it's a treifa anyway.
Right, but something that happened recently in one time.
But how?
Could the animal have grown all those years?
I mean, I have the same problem. No, my answer would be if the animal is a fetus or is a not even fetus. If the animal was just born like this, then it's a treifa. And in other words, it was just born and then you shechted it. I don't think, because of the way it's connected, I don't think a physical trauma could actually reverse it. That's why I assumed mutation. The Ibayilu, Nikvu Shneim Zeshlo Kineged Zeh Mahu. What if there are holes that are not aligned with each other? Then what? Mahu. So Amar Marzutra, Mishmeidra Papa Beveshet, Kosher Bekurkavan Posel. He says, if you're dealing with the Veshet, then it is kosher. But if you're dealing with the korkovan, if you're dealing with the gizzard, it's pasul, or the alternate edition is treifa. The maskif lo Ravashi, to which Ravashi challenges and says, either rab, but just the opposite. Veshet de achla bay, the esophagus it eats with. Upaya bay. Paya is like pua. Remember we say that pua is named pua because she makes these cooing sounds for the kid? So paya, Rashi brings two explanations. One of them is that this is involved in noise making. It's not just the trachea, but there are vibrations that come from making noise. Alternatively, he suggests it's air going through. But either way, his point is that it's going to shift around. The holes are going to shift then. Sometimes they're going to end up opposite each other, these holes. And therefore it should be no good. The stomach is a different story. The kurkavan and the stomach, the gizzard, is a different story. It's more stable. So Amar le Rav Acha, Brido Yosef, the Rav Ashi, Hachar Mina Mishmei de Marzuto, Amar Mishmei de Rav Papa Kavaseich. You're right. We agree with you that in the case of the Veshet, if you have holes in different layers, it's going to be treifa. Okay, that's the first comment from Rabba. Second comment from Rabba. V'yama Rabba, krum sha'ala mach masmaka beveshet eino krum. He says, if a membrane springs up, a scab springs up because there was a hole in the veshet, and now it's covering the hole in the esophagus, that's no good. That's not a valid cover. Rashi says it doesn't last. You need any layer to be there from before there was a maka. The Margaliyos HaShas quotes the Beis Yitzchak in Megillah Yigimel Amud Aleph. You need Hashem to be makdim refuah la maka. The refuah has to be before the maka. If the refuah is after the maka, it doesn't work. Then a third comment from Rabbah, and again, there's much we could be saying, but we have to cover a half and a half. The Ve'amar Rabbah, Veshet Eimlo Bedika Mibachutz Ela Bifnim. He says, when it comes to checking the esophagus, you have to check the esophagus for holes from the inside. Not for holes, excuse me, for a suffix drusa. The concern is the animal may have been mauled and may have bled, so you have to check it on the inner layer, which is the white layer. If you check the outer layer, it's red, so the blood isn't going to be visible. Rashi explains more in Suffolk Drusan Mem Gimel Amid Beis. He says the concern is that the spot where any toxin is will get red, and and you won't be able to tell. You won't be able to see anything from the outside. It's Rashi at the top of Mem Gimel Amid Beis. So therefore, Rabbah says Ein lo bedika bibachutz. It can't be checked outside. Only bifnim. L'may nafgamina. For what purpose is this? The Suffolk Drusa. The case of the Suffolk Drusa. The animal that may have been mauled. So the Suffolk Drusa was actually brought to Rabbah. Have a kabbadik le Rabbah leveshet me'avroi, and Rabbah's checking the esophagus from the outside. Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, what are you doing? V'amar hu da'amar veshet en lo bedika lemibifnim. Abaye speaks respectfully because he's talking to Rabbah, his Rebbe, but he says the master is the one who said you can only check the esophagus from the inside. Abche Rabbah u badke. So Rabbah inverted it and checked it that way. And sure enough, he found two spots of blood, and he declared it to be a treifa, to which the Gemara says, Rabbah was testing Abayu. We find this elsewhere in the Gemara. He wouldn't have gone through with it. He simply wanted to see whether Abaye would be sharp enough to catch it. So he's testing Abaye. Don't just take what your Rebbe does at face value. Amar Ula. Ula then says, this is now a new thought. This is the thorn in the esophagus. Yashav lo kotz beveshet. Yashav sounds like that it actually got a thorn attached to the esophagus. We're going to see more about that momentarily. The Rashi says right now at the outset that we're talking about where it swallowed a thorn. The animal swallowed a thorn, and there is no hole visible on the outside, and there's no blood seen on the inside. So Yashav lo kotz beveshet, if it swallowed a thorn, ein choshishin shema hivri. We are not concerned that perhaps hivri. Rashi offers two explanations for hivri. His first explanation is that there was a hole, and then it scabbed over, but the scab, we say, is not a qualified membrane. The other approach is that hivri actually means just that there was a hole. So either I'm not concerned for a hole that scabbed over, or I'm not concerned for a hole in the first place. So the Gemara says, Ula Ula Maishnami Suffolk Drusa. Well, for Ula, why is this any different from the Suffolk Drusa case where you said if you're in doubt, you have to check. You have to check the inside. So here, you're not requiring that we invert the thing to check it. Why not? Kasavar Ula in Choshen LeSuffolk Drusa. To which Ula says, no, in the Suffolk Drusa case, you also don't need to check the to check the inside automatically. That's actually a machlokes later on in this parak, as Rashi notes. The idea is that here, in the case of the thorn, Rashi notes, you wouldn't be able to check. So if you would say safek, it would be treifa. Because here there is no way to check. But he says there's no need here. There's no need to check by safek drusa either.
Rashi, where wine came, was there, right?
Right.
All
art. Right. Well, that's the question, is how far do we go with Suffolk Drusa? In other words, would I worry about it if nothing happened, or if a lion is present, but I don't know what touched this animal, and so on. So Ula says, I wouldn't worry. Well, why is this any different, the case in which it swallowed a thorn? Why is that any different from the case in which you had two pieces of fat in front of you? One was mutter fat, shuman, the other was aser fat, chelev, and you ate one of them and you don't know which one. And we say you have to bring an asham talui. So we are concerned. Yeah, but Hasam is Chazik Isura. There you had a Chazakah of Isur. You know that one of the pieces present was Treif. The Baal Hadin, Hachalo is Chazik Isura. Here there was no Chazakah of Isur at all. The Chazakah of the animal was that it was fine. Why is this any different from the case in which you checked with a knife that had been checked and looked fine, and then later on you found a flaw, and then we say, well, maybe we do have to retro-trafe some of the animals we shechted. We had a nice discussion about that earlier in the Masechta. Yeah, but there, you see the knife has a flaw in it. That's a bona fide reyesa. That's a real weakness. Umaish, and therefore that indicates we have to wreck things that we handled before. Umaish nami safek tumah b'rishus hayachid disfeko tameh. But why is this any different from suffik tumah in a private domain, where the rule is, we assume tameh, right, from v'nistra v'hinitma regarding sota. So he says, v'li tameh, well, according to you, if you're worried about sota's case, nid miyeh le suffik tumah b'rishus harabim, despek otar. You could just as easily compare it to suffik tumah in a public domain, where we assume tahar. Ela hasan hechas hakimiri lami sota. The answer is that the rules of suffik tumah are halach al moshe misinai deduced from sota. We discussed this also earlier in the Masechta. And they're really an entity unto themselves, sui generis. You can't compare them to anything else. Don't make comparisons to our discussion of the suffik here. Okay, now we clarify the case of the thorn in the esophagus. Yasev Aumer Rabbanan Kamed Rav Kahana. One of the Rabbanan is sitting in front of Rav Kahana. V'yasev Ukaamar Nimtseis Itmar. Aval Yashav Chayshinan. He says, what we're talking about here with the thorn in the esophagus is the case of Nimtseis. Rashi explains below Techiva. It's not that you found a thorn stabbed into the esophagus, and now the question is, how deep was the hole? The case is simply that you found one sitting in it when you cut open the animal. Aval Yashav, but if it actually was Yashav, Yashav indicates to me that it was actually poked into the flesh, Chayshinan, then in fact I would be worried about whole possibilities. Amar Lehu Rav Kahana Lotatzisulei. Rav Kahana says, don't listen to him. Yashav Itmar, what we learned was Yashav, it's where it's poked in, and I'm still not worried. Aval Nimzeis, if it's simply found sitting in the esophagus, Lo Istrich Leila Ula, I wouldn't need Ula to tell me that it's fine. Dekul Chevi Breisa Kutzi Achlan, he's says all the wild animals eat thorns. It's natural. They eat thorns and nettles. The fact that it's sitting in the esophagus means it had lunch. That's all it means, and there is nothing to indicate that I have any sort of problem. Okay, Itmar. We learned Turbutz Havesha. The Turbutz Havesha is the pharynx, as it's marked off in the Tmunei Chol. It's the upper end. When I say upper, I mean towards the head, of the Veshet and the Kana. I mean the esophagus and the trachea, as they move towards the mouth. They're swallowed up in a section, so to speak, called the Turbitz HaVeshet, the pharynx. Those who remember Bava Basra, Zayin Amad Aleph, will remember that a tarbitza is a garden that's beside a house, like an entryway into the house, or a place that provides illumination. So I think that may be the origin for calling this the Turbitz HaVeshet. It's the entryway into the Kana. And I haven't seen that anywhere, but I think that it makes sense. The entryway into the Veshet. So the Turbitz HaVeshet, Rav Omar Bimashahu. Rav says any hole in it will disqualify it, meaning it's just like the Veshet itself. It's just like the esophagus itself. The esophagus, any hole is going to disqualify it. So too in this pharynx. Ushmuel Amar Berubo. And Shmuel said, no, it has to be the majority of it because this is not part of the Veshet. So Rav over B'mashu, why Makom Shchitahu? Rav says B'mashu because this is already the site where you would do Shchita. This is already part of the Veshet. Shmuel Amar Beruba, love Makom Shchitahu. Shmuel says no, it's the majority because it's not the place where you do, it's not the site of Shchita. Hainu Turbetz HaVeshet. So the Gemara says, where exactly is this? Where does the pharynx begin? So Amar Mari Bar Mar Ukva Amar Shmuel Koshechotcha Umarchiv Zehu Turbetz HaVeshet. If when you cut it, the mouth of it would broaden, not the cut would broaden, Rashi stresses, but the entryway of it would broaden. That is the Turbitz HaVeshet. Chotcho va'omid b'mekomo, whereas if, when you cut it, the entrance will still remain as it was, zehu veshet atzmo, that's the veshet itself. So he says, in other words, consistent with his general view, Shmuel says, the Turbitz HaVeshet and the veshet are two different things, and you can tell by the different tensions that are in the flesh of it. That will demonstrate it for you. The veshet being very flexible, the esophagus is flexible, and therefore, even if it gets a hole at some point, the mouth of it will not broaden, will not shift. Amar lo Rav Papi. So Rav Papi says to them, he says, Mar lo Amar hachi. My master didn't say that. Umanu, who's his master? Of Bibi Barabaye. Ela kol shechotcho va'obe b'mekomo zet turbetz haveshet. He said that if when you cut it, it will actually remain, the hole will remain as is, the mouth of it will remain as is, that's the turbetz haveshet. Ela ezu veshet atzmo, what is the veshet? Kol shechotcho v'kovitz, if it will actually contract when a hole is made. Yonah Omar Zera Mavlata. Yonah, we're taking as the name of a Chacham according to Rashi. The Beis Yosef quoted in the side margin brings you some who argue it means the bird. And it's saying that birds have a different setup than other creatures do. And then it's Zera, maybe Rabbi Zera speaking there. But we generally assume Yonah Them V'Chacham, who's quoting Zera, Mavlata. Mavlata. Rashi explains Mavlata is Makom Beis Habliya, the place where you swallow Kari Turbutz. Samoch LaRosh Hanekev Meod. It's close to the head. That's a statement of Mavlata, and what he means is the Kama. Well, let me finish the line. The Kama. How much is that? Amar of Avia Pachos Misa'arta Va'adif Mechitasa. Less than a hair's length. Rashi says a hair's length, but more than a wheat kernel from the point where it starts to swallow. That's your space. That is the Turbat Saveshet. Less than the length of a hair. I don't know how long your hair is. Oh, I'm sorry. And more than a orach saora, of course. Thank you. Yeah. The sarta is the barley kernel. Yeah, I don't know why I said hair. That's funny. Less than a barley kernel's length, and that explains the length thing. Less than a barley kernel, and more than a wheat kernel. Right. Okay. Good. Then we get the story of the ox, that the ox belonging to Mar Ukva's children. The Hahu Tara Davil Ibn Rav Ukva. Rav Ukva's kids had an ox. The Ascha Be Shchita B'Turbat HaVeshet V'Gomar B'Veshet. And Shchita began the Turbat HaVeshet zone, which Rav said counts as the place of Shchita. That counts for a Kasher Shchita. And it concluded with Hagrama. It veered down into the Veshet B'Veshet, into the Veshet itself. So Amar Rava, Ramina Ale Chumre De Rav, Chumre De Shmua V'Tari. Rava said, you know what? I said this is treif because of the chumras of Rav and of Shmuel. Chumre de Rav dama Rav Mashu. Rav's chumra because he says any cut in the turbat havesha will disqualify, just like in the veshet itself. I v'ha'amar Rav makom shchita. Yeah, but Rav says it's a makom shchita. But kishmuel, I'm following Shmuel. Damar la makom shchita. Who says it's not the site of the shchita? But ish Shmuel ha'amar beruba. But Shmuel says that the turbat havesha will only render it a treifa if it has a hole in the majority. Kirav damar b'mashu. I'm following Rav, who says mashu. So he takes two contradictory chumros. One is dependent on the other. It's only going to be possible with a minimal hole if it's a kosher place for shchita. The two go hand in hand. So the Gemara says, Rava, what in the world did you think you were doing? Igango Milsa, the story went on. Matoy le kamei de Rabbi Abba, he came to Rabbi Abba. Stories like this don't die. The animal may, the story doesn't. Amar Lehu and Rabbi Abba said to them, Torah Bela Rav Bela Shmuel Shari. Either Rav or Shmuel is going to say it's fine. Zilu Imrule Lebreder of Yosef Barchama. Go tell Rava. But he calls Rava the son of Rav Yosef Barchama. That in fact is Rava's name. So those who wanted to know Rava's father, now know. Delishlim Demei Torah Lamare. Tell him he should pay for the ox. This ox that he killed, that he rendered a treifa, he should pay for it. Rashi notes, remember the laws of malpractice when you're dealing with Dayanim on cases like this. It must be that it was given to the dogs already. It's not simply that he gave a bad ruling, but that the animal on his words was given to the dogs. And it was what we call Toz Bidvar Mishnah. It was a mistake made in a simple matter of tradition. It's not something about Svara, where you could argue one way, you could argue another way. This was simply getting things wrong, straight out, in terms of the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. So he says, you got to pay for it. There's a whole discussion back in Sanhedrin, Donas Adin, Zigas Achayev, whether he has to actually physically be the one who feeds it to the dogs or not, but that's beyond the scope of the day when we're doing a daf and a half. So our Mar Brei de Ravina said, Mosvina Tiyuvta Klape San E de Rava. He says, I present a real challenge to the enemies of Rava, and this is a euphemism here. He means to Rava himself, but he doesn't want to be rude. The La'olam Hilchasa, we learn the following. La'olam Hilchasa Kedivri Beis Hilav Arotzalasas Kedivri Beis Shammai Osa, Kedivri Beis Hillel Osa. We learn that the law follows in a machlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The law follows Beis Hillel. But if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you may. Mikulei Beis Shammai, you may kulei Beis Hillel Rasha. If you want to follow the kulos of both, that makes a person a Rasha. Mechumre Beis Shammai, you may chumre Beis Hillel. And if you follow the chumros of both, Olav Akasim Omer Aksil Bachosha Cholech. A fool walks in the dark. Note, by the way, this is only where the chumros are actually self-contradictory. In other words, we're following the chumra of one directly directly contradicts the other, like the story here. We're calling it a veshet to disqualify with a minimal hole is contradicts the idea that the that it's not the makom shlita. You can't satisfy both at the same time. The idea that we have in the poskim, which goes all the way back to the Gemara of trying to satisfy all points of view, is a sound halachic approach. It's where they contradict each other that you say that's a joke. So he says a fool does this. Be consistent. You follow kulas chumros of both. So haguf akasha. Amr lo olam alach. First of all, this is inherently contradictory. Amr lo olam alach kedivrei beis hillel. First, you tell me the law follows beis hillel. V'hadar tani eva ratzalas kedivrei beis shammai yaseh. But then you say you follow beis shammai. Which is it? Lo kasha. That's no problem. Kan kodem baskol kan la'acher baskol. One statement was pre baskol, and the other one was post baskol. The Ben Yehoyada says you still needed to mention it here, even if it was pre baskol, because that's practical applications. If beis shammai declared something to be mutter or tahor before the baskol took place, so it would remain mutter after the baskol, like we talked about with nechiv basar nechira from the midbar, that it was mutter in the midbar and therefore it's mutter when you enter. But in any case, he says that's my answer. Alternatively, afla achar baskol, Rabbi Yeshua yida amar in mashkichin bebaskol. Alternatively, it's following Rabbi Yeshua, who says I don't pay attention to a baskol. Therefore, you could still follow beis shammai, but be consistent. And you follow one, you follow the other, you don't follow both where they contradict each other. Mikom makom kasha. I have a problem. What did Rava think he was doing? So Amar Rav Tavus says, you're right. However, that's not what Rav said. Kula ki Rav avda. Rava followed Rav entirely. Dechi asi Rami by Yechezkel. When Rami by Yechezkel came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, Lo tatsisu lehu la'ani klali dekayel Yehuda achi mishmei derav. My brother is Rav Yehuda, the famous Rav Yehuda who always quotes Rav or quotes Shmuel, because he learned under both. Well, Rabbi Yechezkel is Rav Yehuda's brother, and he says, don't listen to the klalim that my brother gave, all the rules that he gave for what Rav says and what Shmuel says, because he made a mistake. Hachi Amar Rav, this in fact is what Rav said. Veshet nasnu bo chachamim shir. Now the chachamim gave a shir for the veshet. Where does the veshet end? The Bach throws in midikamar nasnu bo chachamim shir michlal de turbat veshet la makom shchito. From the fact that he had to tell you where the veshet begins, that means that there's a point that's beyond that. That's the Turbat HaVeshet. The Turbat HaVeshet is not the Veshet. Rav believed that Turbat HaVeshet is not the Veshet for Shechita purposes. The Uka Amar B'mashu, and he said it's disqualified with any minimal hole anyway. So Rav did not believe that you can shecht on the site of the Turbat HaVeshet. And that's why this was no good. In Ksuvos Chafalef, you see Rabbi Yechezkel do the same thing to his brother regarding Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel. It wasn't just about Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rav. It was also about Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel. Everyone has a brother like this. You teach something and then he comes along and says you got it wrong. Presumably he was an older brother. Lemalo ad kama.
That's why you made it a trade from my shekel.
Correct, because now it's not the makom shechita.
How come Rav is not answering?
Rav is not present anymore. Perhaps the story went on. We said Igalgo Milsa, right? You're never around to answer for yourself. The Vaitum. Lamala ad kama. So the Gemara now wants to know where is the top point of the veshet of the esophagus. Back on Daf Yurches, we talked about the top point of the trachea. And later on, we're going to talk about where the bottom of the esophagus is. That'll be, God willing, on Wednesday. But right now, we want to know where is the top of the esophagus? Lamala ad kama. How far do you go to say it's possible for shechita? So Amar of Nachman ad kidei tefisas yad. The limits of what you could grip with your hand. Rashi brings two approaches. One is the width of 3 to 4 fingers. The other one is the grip with fingernails, but he rejects that. It's 3 to 4 finger widths from the top. From where the head begins. Tosos challenges Rashi, he quotes the Bahag saying 2 fingers, because he says you've never seen an animal with a space of 3 or 4 fingers like that, it would have to be a Re'im. This is a question of Mitzius. But he says, that's the limit. Lamata ad kama, how far down? So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, ad kadesha yasir, where the cilia starts. The hair is on the inside of the animal, not on the outside, but the hair is on the inside. It's where the hairiness begins. That's the end of the esophagus. Ini, to which the Gemara says, Va'amar Ravina, Amar Geneva, Mishmei Derav, Tefach Beveshet, Samoch Lekera, Zeu Keras Apnimi. We say that that a Tefach in the Veshet close to the stomachs, that's called the inner stomach. Amai, why? Kika shachet bekeres kashachet. That means that you're now shechting at the keres. If you believe that it's all the way down where there's hair, that's where it ends, then you're shechting in the keres. You're shechting in the stomach already. You're shechting too far down, he argues. To which he says, Ema tefach bekeres samuch leveshet zeu keres hapnimi. So he says, what we should say is not that the tefach of the veshet is the inner keres, is the inner stomach. The tefach of the keres itself is the inner stomach. So in other words, if this is the veshet goes down, here's where the keres starts, and this is the keres hapnimi. This is not a tefach of the veshet, which is above where the cilia start. It's the keres hapnimi section it's the keres itself that we're calling the keres hapnimi. Ibayis ema, or alternatively, I'll give you a different answer. Kiko ama Rav b'tara demas ir tfei. Maybe Rav made his statement regarding an ox. An oxen are hairier, and the hair goes further up the veshet. So all of our shiurim are in agreement about where the veshet ends and where the keres begins. The only question is what you were referring to when you described it. That's the main problem.
How do you give a name like Geneva?
Geneva? It's Geneva, not Geneva. Don't call him...
Here it says Geneva.
No. It's Geneva. He comes up elsewhere in the Gemara also. It's a big Talmud Chacham, so don't mess with him. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman says, citing Shmuel, Turbetzave, don't mess with someone called Geneva either. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Turbetzaveshe, Shenita, Kulami, Lechi, Kasher. What happens if the pharynx becomes separated from the jawbone? The mandible, as they put it in the Tmunei Chol. What happens if it actually becomes separated from the bone? So he says, if it's entirely separated, nonetheless, it is still kosher. We say this is kosher. V'tana tuna, we learn further, nita lechi atachton kosher. If the mandible itself has become separated from the flesh, it is kosher. Maskif la Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, what are you talking about? V'ha'ika ikor simanim. If you do that, then you have your trachea and your esophagus uprooted from the flesh. That's no good. We say that's a trefa. Rav Papa Kasher Mas Nisan. Well, wait a minute, Rav Papa, you should have a problem with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said explicitly, Nita Lachi Atachton Kasher, right? We said that was the Vatana Tuna. We say explicitly that it's Kasher. So what do you do with the Mishnah? No. Bishlam Mas Nisan Rav Papa Lo Kasher. Rav Papa will have no problem with the Mishnah. Had the Iakar Iakure, Had the Egom Igume Meilave Simanim. It depends on whether it was uprooted or whether it was cut away from the simanim. Meaning, he'll say our Mishnah is where the simanim were attached to the meat. We're still attached to the flesh. That's where we say kosher. As opposed to where the simanim are out of it, it's no good. The El Shmuel kosher, our problem is for Shmuel, because the Turbat HaVeshet being removed means that the trachea and the esophagus are actually separate from the flesh. That's our problem. So he says, Lo tema kulo, ela ema rubo. Answer number one is it's only where the majority was separated, but some is still attached. The Bach throws in a whole different edition here, but I'm going to go with the one we have. V'ama rabba bar bar chano amr shmuel simanim shenidaldalu baruban trefa. Don't you know, we say that if the trachea and the esophagus are in fact majority dangling, it's still trefa. So Amar Rav Shisha b'Rei D'Ravidi had the ikpol ikpulei hasam the ifrok afruke. Rav Shisha b'Rei D'Ravidi answers, you know what? It depends on how it was removed. If it was peeled back, ikpol ikpulei, peeled back from the flesh, then it's still kosher. As opposed to ifrok afruke, it was uprooted with strength. It was jerked away from the flesh, then it's going to be a trefa. Aside from the trauma involved, Rashi says this will generate a difference in the physical quantity of flesh that remains attached. Where it's peeled back, he seems to think that there's more flesh that's going to remain in one spot. Whereas if it's simply pulled off, then it's going to be then you're going to have little bits of flesh, but not in one place, and therefore it won't be able to survive. That's his. That's the concern that he has, and we'll pick up with that, God willing, on Wednesday, unless Mashiach comes.